All right, you're listening to Green Left Radio, and on the line we're very happy to have Mary Menkovic, who is a high school teacher and is a teacher union activist with the Australian Education Union. And we have her on the program to have a bit of a discussion. In fact, there's actually been a lot of debate within the union about the kind of proposed kind of enterprise bargaining agreement that is actually currently being negotiating, that's currently being negotiated with you know, the Department of Education by the Australian kind of Education Union. So yeah, good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Jacob. How are you? And hello to your listeners.
Yeah. Well, I guess kind of to start off, I guess, the kind of discussion, what can you give us a background, I guess, of some of the issues impacting on school teachers in the lead up to these kind of negotiations?
Yes. Well, the main demands for teachers, education support staff, and also the principal class has been workload. There were two surveys that were carried out, and that clearly highlighted that workload was excessive and unsustainable. Of course, COVID exacerbated this crisis in our workload, but there was a crisis even prior to COVID and to the remote teaching that we all had to do. There were two surveys. The first one took place in 2016, and it found what every teacher, every AAU member knew, that teachers work something like 53 hours per week. So that's something like 15 hours of unpaid overtime every week. Education support staff, something like 60% of those workers said that they could not finish their allocated tasks in the time that they had at work. And principals are working something like 60 hours per week. So as a consequence, teachers, the education support workers and principals made it absolutely clear that excessive workload had to be finally addressed. It's been an issue for many years and for many previous EBA negotiations, but it was like, you know, this is the final straw. We've actually got to do something about it. And I think the officials took note of those feelings. And then in addition to workload, which of course means that more teachers have to be employed, salaries that reflect the value of the work of all school staff was high on the agenda, especially for education support staff who they don't even get a paid lunch break, and they're some of the lowest paid workers in Australia, some of them starting from something like $45,000 annually. So I think they were the major issues. There were other issues, of course, like contract teaching or casualisation of work, but I think what I've just explained to you, they were the core of what we were all asking for.
Yep, thanks for that, Mary. Good morning, by the way, Leo here as well.
Hi, Leo.
Just building up on some of those issues, what can you tell us about the proposed agreement that's now been sort of voted in favour by the union, that's been put forward by the AU leadership, and why is it inadequate to address some of the issues that you just mentioned in improving working conditions for teachers?
So as soon as most AU members saw what was being proposed, there was an immediate negative response. Many people focused on what was clearly obvious, which was the pay. So the officials were saying that we were getting over 2%, when actually it's less than 2%, and the officials used all sorts of confusing calculations to say that it was over 2%. And when you think about the inflation rate, the official inflation rate is 3.5, I think, like fuel, housing, all those other essentials are going up and continuing to go up. It's not like they've just stopped at 3.5%. So that was the first reaction to that. But there's significant problems with a lot of the other things that are being proposed. So contrary to the propaganda that workload will be substantially decreased, it won't be. Firstly, class sizes are not addressed at all. This is a major issue for workload, especially for primary school teachers who have generally much larger classes than teachers in secondary schools. Secondly, we've lost three of our professional practice days, which were days given to give teachers some relief. So you would get a day free to do preparation or something else related to your work. And we had four of those a year, and now we've lost three of them. So we only have one. Thirdly, the thing that the officials are heralding as an historic win, the 1.5 hours of reduction in face-to-face teaching, is uncertain and it's temporary. It's uncertain for a couple of reasons. Firstly, because this part of the deal is not written into the main body of the EBA, but it's put into a deed. Now, there's some debate about what this means, but I've been told, and others have by industrial lawyers and by other union officials, that that means that it is not covered by Fair Work, the Fair Work Commission. If there is a breach in an EBA, the Fair Work Commission deals with it immediately and it is resolved according to what is stipulated in the EBA. If it is not in the Fair Work Commission, then the union will have to take it to court, and the union has admitted that this is the process. Now, court cases can take up to 2 years or perhaps even longer. The outcome is not guaranteed, and it will cost the union money. So that's why we say that it's uncertain. But the second reason that it's uncertain is that there is a huge teacher shortage at the moment, and they will need something like 2,000 teachers to be employed to be able to implement a reduction in the face-to-face of teaching. So if we can't find teachers now, and many teachers that are currently employed are having a long, hard look at their jobs and wondering whether they should stay, especially after the lockdown, like workers in other industries. So if they can't find teachers to employ and teachers are leaving, then they're not going to be able to decrease that face-to-face teaching anyway. Mm. There's a couple other things. Sorry, I'll just quickly go over the other things. So that's right. The other things that haven't been addressed in terms of workload are the numerous meetings that teachers are expected to go to, the extra admin work, such as responding to heaps of emails. So none of those have been discussed. And then there's another historic, according to the officials, win in the proposed deal, which is time in lieu for teachers who go on excursions, camps, all sorts of other or sporting activities and so forth. The thing that they didn't mention at first, and it only came out when they were questioned, is that this has not been funded. So schools, individual schools, are going to have to somehow find the money to be able to pay teachers in lieu or give them the time, which costs schools money. And most government schools are strapped for money or in deficit. So what this means is that it won't happen, or it will happen, because teachers out of the goodness of their hearts will continue to go on camps, excursions and so forth. Or a third proposition that's been put forward is that schools should ask parents to pay, which is absolutely wrong. It's privatising education. It means that many families won't be able to pay, and you'll have differences in what children can experience. So they're some of the things. I think I did mention that there's nothing about contract teaching. So all in all, most of us think it's a rotten deal.
Hmm. And that's getting into, I guess, the kind of next kind of question, I guess, is, what can you tell us about the results, I guess, of the first vote that took place, which saw a 40% no vote to the proposed agreement, which I think is quite significant. And I guess, sometimes that when it comes to kind of any sort of proposed sort of EBA agreements, they usually aren't this kind of contested. So a 40% sort of no kind of vote is actually quite significant in that sense. And I guess, what can you, I guess, tell us about, I mean, because you yourself have been part of, working with other left-wing teachers, trying to build a campaign against this proposed agreement, in a sense, and I guess what is kind of the alternative that has kind of been put forward? So tell me both about the results and the alternative that is being fought for.
Thanks, Jacob. Yes, I agree with you. 40% is significant. In my experience, I don't think there's ever been a vote against something that the officials have proposed that has been that high. So they're quite freaked out. They're really angry. Some sub-branches and individual members are telling me that organisers are coming around and asking them, why did you vote no? So that's demonstrating that they are quite worried about the next stage. And we have to look at the context of the vote. So some of those people who voted for the agreement probably voted for it because they had not been exposed to the facts of the, like, what we're saying, the concerns that we have about the proposed deal. Excuse me. And others who voted yes, may also have thought, well, it's a done deal, because that's how the media was presenting it and the government was presenting it and even the union officials to a certain extent. So, you know, they probably would have voted yes because they felt they had no choice, and maybe because they have no confidence that their leadership is going to be able to offer them anything better. The leadership also put on a massive propaganda campaign saying how wonderful it was, sending emails to every single member. At least two leaflets went to every member's home address. And the full-time organisers went to schools also spruiking how great this deal was and that people should be grateful and vote yes. Any critical comments were deleted from the AU website, from the Facebook page, so there was quite a bit of control of the narrative that was going on. The ratification process was strictly controlled. It was via delegated small meetings around the state, which means that, you know, if there's a few activists, they can't get around to every single ratification meeting. Although I must say the meetings I attended, and I went to three, there were lots of people there that I had not had contact with who got up and spoke strongly against the proposed deal. Some people saying their whole sub-branches had voted no, which is another sign of how people are feeling. So, yes, we're saying to people that in this next stage of the vote, which is every single member of the Education Department now gets to vote, that we're calling on people to vote no for exactly the same reasons that we asked AEU members to vote no. It's not in our interest to vote for this deal. It is a wage cut. There is no relief in workload. It's just a rotten deal. So we should continue to vote no. And so you've asked, what are the alternatives? Well, the alternative is that the leadership goes back and negotiates much more seriously. In addition to that, leading up to this proposed deal, we did not take one day of any kind of industrial action. We used our weakest tools, which were bans on any politicians coming to our schools, bans on meetings. Some schools didn't have to ban any meetings because my school, for example, during lockdown, we didn't have any meetings. And lobbying. The other thing was to lobby state ALP politicians who are members of the very government that has maintained Victorian government schools as the lowest funded in Australia. So, you know, you can be a bit sceptical about the effectiveness of that. So we're saying, you know, and a lot of members are ready to take some form of industrial action to back up the negotiations that are going on and also to empower members. It's going to be our working conditions, so we should have the right to be empowered and engage in this campaign, not just sit back and be told, this is the best deal that we can get for you.
Just on that, Mary, I was about to ask you about this second round, but you've summed it up really nicely. We are a little bit short on time, but just before we conclude, do you have any final comments you'd like to make?
Well, I would urge people to go onto the Facebook pages. For example, there's a group called Melbourne Educators for Environmental and Social Justice, or Message for short. Read some of the stuff there if you're not sure. Educate yourself about what this deal really means and spread the word that people should be opposing it, because it is not in our interest.
Thank you very much, Mary. Thanks for joining us and shedding light on these AU-EBA negotiations.
Yeah, thank you very much, Mary.
Yes, thank you for having me.